Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. A majority of New York school professionals and others surveyed by the state favor altering the use of Regents exams or eliminating them entirely, according to a report released yesterday by education authorities. John Hildebrand reports on Newsday.com that the surveys, which are part of a sweeping effort by state education officials to revamp high school graduation requirements, drew responses from more than 2,600 school administrators, teachers, parents, and others statewide. Respondents participated either in regional conferences or online, and 11% were Long Islanders. Survey questions dealt with such issues as the knowledge and skills that students require before they graduate and the type of course requirements or exams needed to ensure that students are prepared for college, careers, and civic engagement. One common and controversial response revolved around the use of Regents exams, which have been diploma requirements for more than 140 years. Quote, the majority of participants suggested modifying the Regents exams or getting rid of them entirely, though a few preferred to keep the Regents in order to ensure rigor across the state, declared the report, which was released during a monthly meeting of New York State's Board of Regents in Albany. Many participants also commented that they would prefer performance-based assessments, for example, PowerPoint presentations or research projects by students, rather than paper and pencil tests. Some testing experts have noted that results from performance-based exercises are difficult to score uniformly from student to student and school to school. The 161-page report released yesterday, Graduation Requirements and Measures, was prepared for the State of New York's Education Department and the New York State Regents by a regional center led by WestEd, a San Francisco-based research agency. As reported on Newsday.com, in September, education officials named a 64-member panel, including school superintendents, teachers, and others, to advise on the diploma project, which is shaping up as the biggest transformation of graduation standards in a quarter century. The panel is supposed to turn in a report with recommendations by the summer of 2024, followed by final action on the part of the 17-member Regents Board. The Regents, though they set much of the state's education policy, faces limits in terms of graduation standards. Federal law requires that all high school students take exams in English, math, and science, so some form of standardized testing most likely will remain in place. However, the Regents could strip Regents exams of their status as diploma requirements if they chose to take that route. Currently, students must pass 4 or 5 of the exams in order to graduate in the state of New York. Peconic Bay Medical Center in Riverhead is embarking on a $20 million expansion of its emergency department. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that PBMC submitted an application to the New York State Department of Health last month seeking approvals for the expansion, which will provide 9 additional treatment rooms and a Level 2 trauma room with direct access to a new CT scanner. The expansion will increase the department's space by almost 75%, adding 7,409 square feet to the existing 10,000 square foot emergency department. The number of patients going to PBMC's emergency department for treatment continues to climb and is expected to exceed 38,000 visits this year. Home heating oil prices topped $6 a gallon on Long Island last week, just as cooler fall weather arrived and the winter heating season looms. Mark Harrington reports on Newsday.com that the average price for a gallon of heating oil on Long Island hit $6.07 a gallon for the week ending November 7th, the highest the price has been since May, when volatile energy markets sent the price soaring to $6.46 a gallon, according to state figures. The November 7th price was a 61% jump from a year ago and a 7-cent increase in just a week. Long Island heating prices had stabilized under $6 since May, falling to as low as $4.94 in September. Long Islanders are not the only ones paying those high prices. Across the upstate region, prices last week rose as high as $6.18 a gallon in the upper Hudson region, and the statewide figure was $6.04. A 68% jump from a year ago. Lawrence Goldstein, director of the Energy Policy Research Foundation and a member of the National Petroleum Council, said heating oil customers should buckle up for more increases. Obviously, a lot depends on the weather, he said, but prices through the winter are still going to be higher than their already high levels. The reason? It's because inventories are 20 to 25% of what they normally are, primarily across the Northeast, and refining capacity is constrained, said Goldstein, a resident of Setauket, Long Island. Lawrence Goldstein, director of the Energy Policy Research Foundation and a member of the National Petroleum Council, has, among others, called on the federal government to increase funding to programs such as the Federal Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program, HEAP, which he noted had seen cuts of $4 billion in recent years. And it's not just heating oil customers who are paying higher November prices. PSEG Long Island announced November 1st that its power supply charge jumped nearly 3% to 13.8 cents a kilowatt hour. On a year-over-year basis, the November increase is a 21% jump from the 11.4 cents a kilowatt hour power supply charge for last November. PSEG spokeswoman Elizabeth Flagler said despite the increase, this November's power supply charge reflected a decrease in the cost of natural gas compared with October. A panel discussion on water quality, one of the most pressing issues for East End residents, has been scheduled for Southampton. Lisa Finn reports on Patch.com that the League of Conservation Voters and the Village of Southampton have teamed up to organize the discussion, which will take place this coming Thursday, November 17th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Southampton Arts Center, 23 Jobes Lane, right in Southampton. The audience will hear from experts on the importance of protecting our valuable water resources, what can be done to continue this work, and how this effort will impact generations of Long Islanders, the organizers said. Southampton Village Mayor Jesse Warren is scheduled to participate and to speak about ongoing initiatives. That's this Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Southampton Arts Center, 23 Jobes Lane in Southampton. Long Islanders are urged to take public transportation instead of driving on the year's most gridlocked traffic days in the upcoming holiday season, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority said on Sunday. Denton Zhao and Matthew Chase report on Newsday.com that gridlock alert days are designated by New York City's Department of Transportation, which collects and analyzes traffic data from past years to determine the busiest and most congested days of the year, according to the agency's website. There are 19 gridlock alert days, most around the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, but also during the UN General Assembly. That includes tomorrow and Thursday this week, as well as November 22nd, November 23rd, and November 30th. For next month, the days are December 1st, December 2nd, December 6th through December 9th, and December 13th through the 15th. Designated days do not necessarily have the most traffic, but are characterized by higher overall activity, such as vehicles, pedestrians, tourism, and special events, as well as slow speeds, according to DOT spokesman Thomas Garrida. Commuters can take advantage of discounted fares, the MTA said. Those traveling via Long Island Railroad within New York City during off-peak hours can purchase a city ticket at a discounted rate. LIRR riders can also buy a 20-trip ticket, which offers a 20% discount off comparable 20-peak one-way fares. The tickets are valid for 60 days. The Garage Trade Association does not like gridlock alert days. It said it reduces their business. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.